अपाम वीर्यस्य सर्गस्य पर्जन्यस्य प्रजापतेः पुंसः शिष्णा उपस्थस्तु प्रजात्यानन्दनिर्वृतेः अपां वीर्यस्य सर्गस्य पर्जन्यस्य प्रजापतेः पुंसः शिष्णः उपस्थस्तु प्रजात्यानन्दनिर्वृतेः अपां वीर्यस्य सर्गस्य पर्जन्यस्य प्रजापतेः पुंसः शिष्णः उपस्थस्तु प्रजात्यानन्दनिर्वृतेः of the semen, sargasya of the generative, parjanyasya of rains, prajapatehe of the creator, omsaha of the Lord, shishnaha the genitals, upasthastu, the place where the genitals are situated. Prajati, due to begetting. ananda, pleasure. Nirvritehe, cause. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. From the Lord's genitals originate water, semen, generatives, rains, and the procreators. His genitals are the cause of a pleasure that counteracts the distress of begetting. Purport. The genitals and the pleasure of begetting counteract the distresses of family encumbrances. One would cease to generate altogether if there were not, by the grace of the Lord, a coating, a pleasure-giving substance on the surface of the generative organs. This substance gives a pleasure so intense that it counteracts fully the distress of family encumbrances. A person is so captivated by this pleasure-giving substance that he is not satisfied by begetting a single child, but increases the number of children with great risk in regard to maintaining them simply for this pleasure-giving substance. This pleasure-giving substance is not false. However, this pleasure-giving substance is not false, however, because it originates from the transcendental body of the Lord. In other words, the pleasure-giving substance is a reality, but it has taken on an aspect of pervertedness on account of material contamination. In the material world, sex life is the cause of many distresses on account of material contact. Therefore, the sex life in the material world should not be encouraged beyond the necessity. There is a necessity for generating progeny even in the material world. But such generation of children must be carried out with full responsibility for spiritual values. The spiritual values of life can be realized in the human form of material existence, and the human being must adopt family planning with reference to the context of spiritual values and not otherwise. The degraded form of family restriction by use of contraceptive, etc., is the grossest type of material contamination. Materialists who use these devices want to fully utilize the pleasure potency of the coating on the genitals by artificial means without knowing the spiritual importance. And without knowledge of spiritual values, the less intelligent man tries to utilize only the material sense pleasure of the genitals. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachalini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastude Takta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Nama Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna. Hearty welcome to all the devotees for our weekly Sunday festival program, which was established by Srila Prabhupada simply so that at least once a week all the devotees in the devotional community get an opportunity to come together and inspire themselves and others by absorbing and bathing themselves in the nectarian wisdom and so much of practical wisdom contained within the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, I was supposed to speak on the previous verse, but because of Ram Lala Prana Pratishthan, it was everyone got one purport later, and yesterday's purport was taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Today's purport, I would have preferred some grahastha to speak on this. Quite a graphic verse and much more elaborate purport of Srila Prabhupada. But the amazing part of Srimad Bhagavatam is Srimad Bhagavatam speaks the reality of this world and puts it right in front of you on the table. This is it. And thanks to the acharyas in the parampara who by their as a saragrahi Vaishnavas by the clarity of their vision, conviction of their heart, combined with the compassion of their love, they have the courage to speak the truth as it is, without compromise. But yet, knowing the audience in front of them, they present the truth in such an interesting way for the understanding of the audience that it actually inspires sincere hearers to develop a deep appreciation for the compassion of the Lord and actually take shelter of Him with full heart. In this particular chapter, the universal form of the Lord is being described. Wherein it says that the sun and the moon are the eyes of the Lord. Brahmaloka, the topmost planetary system, is the head of the Lord. Patala Loka, the lowest planetary system, is the sole of the lotus feet of the Lord. The bones are, the mountains are like the bones of the Lord. The vegetation, trees are like the hairs of the Lord. The rivers are like the vein of the Lord. It seems to very thoughtful and intelligent people that, well, how do we kind of understand it and what do we make of it? But this is meant for deeply materialistic who are absorbed in matter and attached to matter, who just cannot conceive of a beautiful transcendental form of the Lord, to begin an understanding of how the Lord also has a form. The form of the Lord is inconceivable. How can a particular form which is just like you and me, apparently very, very limited, be all-powerful, all-knowing and omnipresent? Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. There is nowhere that the Lord is not present. The Lord is outside of everything, inside of everything. He is everything. It's like too much to digest. Bahe narsinga, hridaye narsinga, yato yato yami, tato narsinga. Say something, either this or that. Don't this or that. The Upanishads are like that. Tad ejati, tad naijati, tad dure, tad vantike, tad antarastha sarvasya, tad sarvasya sibahyataha, tad ejati, he runs, tad naijati, but doesn't move. Tad dure, farther than the farthest, tad vantike, but inside you. He is the nearest and yet the farthest. Tadantarasya sarvasya, he is situated closer than yourself to the soul. Tadu sarvasya sibahya, totally he is away from all of this world. Now how does this apparent contradictions are resolved in the bodily beautiful form of the Absolute? Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti shabdhite, Vadantita tattva vidaha, tattva myajjnanam advayam. Only the tattva darshis who know the Lord as He is can understand this. Otherwise it is not possible. So therefore, for the beginners in the path of devotional service, who are deeply attached to matter, can see, smell, taste and perceive matter and nothing beyond it. An imagination form of the Lord is conceived
but of a huge personality. Two things come here. If the Lord has a generative organ, it means He is a person. But if the rains and the generators and all the prajapatis are coming out, that means He's extremely great. So He's a person and He's great. These two conceptions are brought out here. If the sun and moon are as His eyes, you can understand how great He is. But He has eyes, that means He's a person. From there, gradually you move. That same Lord is seated even within your heart as a Paramatma. And the expansion of all of these energies and the Lord in the heart is an expansion of the Supreme Lord standing right in front of you. Beautiful form. The most sweet form of the Lord. So here is the beginning. Now, so when a new spiritual seeker hears about this, and even if he has a little faith, alright, okay, let's believe that it is actually the Lord. The whole universe is the body of the Lord. First thing that happened is as I said, you understand that the Lord is a person. Secondly, if everything is actually an expansion of the Lord's body, naturally we deal in our dealings with everything and every person, we'll deal with more sensitivity and we'll deal with more respect. Just like when you are walking in a traditional Vaishnava, as per the Vaishnava etiquette and behavior, when a person is walking and if your feet touches to his body, then you immediately, you know, touch him and touch your heart or the eyes. And why do you do that? Your feet may have touched his feet, but still you respect that individual, right? You're not supposed to cross over, jump over. You're supposed to, you know, either you move aside or ask that person to move aside. Like Bhima did when Hanumanji in Himalaya, in the form of an old monkey, he was sitting and his tail was covering the path. And Bhima, a cultured Vaishnava, exalted devotee, he didn't recognize that he was Hanumanji. But big monkey with a tail crossing the road and obstructing his path. He said, "Hey monkey," or very respectfully he said, "Prabhu, please move your tail." Hanumanji wanted to make a point, of course. He said, "I am too old to even move my tail." "You please move it. Or you move." He wouldn't. And when Bhima tried, he just kind of, first he tried to with his left hand, just kind of, couldn't happen. Of course, ultimately, Bhimsen's ego was crushed. And he fell at the feet and said, "You must be a divine personality." "Yes, and your elder brother." "I am also Vayuputra." So, that's a culture that we deal, if it's a body of the Lord, everything we begin to deal with sensitivity. How will a person with this understanding pollute the rivers, knowing that the rivers are the veins of the Lord? If this consciousness existed, even at that gross level, we would deal with everything with respect and with sensitivity. So, now we are coming to, before that, there is one point I would like to make. One devotee made a very interesting point. He said, what is material consciousness? material consciousness. And what is materialism? Materialism means to think matter is all in all. Nothing else matters. There is no spirit. There is no supreme spirit. There is no spiritual world. Everything is what you see, hear, touch and feel. It's a materialistic consciousness. So there is no understanding of spirit. So material consciousness means the extreme level to see matter even in spirit. And therefore their dealings are very impersonal. You deal with people as things. Because it's matter. After all, it's gross matter made of just few elements of this earth, water, etc. To the extent, even when the Supreme Spirit descends, you treat him as matter. Avajananti ma moodha. And what is spirituality? Not only to see spirit in spirit, but to see spirit even in matter. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham govindam. The Lord is in every particle of this creation. Everything is coming from him. Everything is connected to him. Everything is therefore meant to be utilized in his service and not for one's own enjoyment. Ishavasya midam sarvam. So when this two polarity is so beautifully brought up in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the story of Prahlad. What an amazing contrast, the extreme material consciousness that is Hiranyakashipu personified material consciousness and the height of spiritual consciousness of Prahlad. Prahlad saw the Lord within the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu didn't see Lord even in the Lord. He thought it is a very unique species, 84.1, and I'll deal with him. So this is the extreme polarities. And our journey is from Hiranyakashipu consciousness to Prahlad consciousness. That's all our spiritual journey is all about. And Bhagavatam actually takes like that, from this to that. Okay, coming back to today's purport. In this particular verse and the purport, Sukadeva Goswami is talking about in the universal form of the Lord, the generative organ, the genitals. Now, what is the purpose of the genitals? Only in Srimad Bhagavatam class we can sit on the Vyasasana and discuss this. Three purposes. One is to pass water. Second is to bring out semen. And third is to generate offsprings. To procreate. Now, therefore it is so beautifully brought out here. From the Lord's genitals originate water, semen, generatives, rains, and the procreators. His genitals are the cause of a pleasure that counteracts the distress of begetting. So there is a fourth thing added to this, and that is the pleasure when that is, but that particular part is agitated. The next time you walk in the rain, You may be wondering what this rain is all about. What's this? You know, this is the Lord passing water. I was trying to think how to understand this. Of course, Krishna is supremely pure. He comes into the universe, fills the half of the universe with his transcendental sweat, and he lies down on that. Now, our sweat is foul smelling and miserable. We take bath to purify ourselves from a sweating body. But the Lord's, because his paramam pavitram, param brahma param dhamma pavitram, he's supremely pure. Everything about him is supremely pure. Let's take a middle path. Supremely pure is difficult to understand. And we understand our situation. Let's take an in-between thing. The conch shell that we blow to invoke auspiciousness and to, you know, push away the inauspicious beings, etc., by blowing the conch shell, is nothing but the bone of an animal. It's actually a bone. A bone is considered impure. A bone is not to be brought, you know, into the altar. But actually, it's a shell, it's a bone of a particular living entity. Honey is offered to the Lord. We bathe the Lord with honey. Now, what's honey actually? It's the relished remnant of the bee. He has tasted already, you know. He's picked up in his mouth and then he collects it, and that we collect pure honey. And when we go in front of the Lord, we wear silken cloth. Where does silk come from? Silk is the saliva of the silkworm. And we use this in the most, you know, pure place to worship the Lord. So what to speak of, because Krishna is the source of everything that exists. So in its purest form, what to speak of that? I've seen many people in the village. I've seen, literally seen this. As soon as the cow starts passing urine, immediately they take like this and start drinking it. Or even sit underneath and take bath. That's how it's considered so pure. Anyway, so this, in this particular purport, what is being emphasized is the act of procreation and how this act, which is the essence of a human being or any living entity, can entangle us more and more and more in this world, or this can actually liberate us from the cycle of birth and death. If we have a proper consciousness. So, let's take this act of procreation. Union between a male and a female. The act of sexual intercourse. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, I am sex life. That is not contrary to religious principles. Dharma aviruddho bhuteshu kamaha asmi. I am that sex life. I am that apparent lust, which is not contrary to religious principles. I will give two examples. One from the Ramayana and one from the Mahabharata, where it says how this act actually is a very divine act. The act of procreation is actually a very divine act. Because creation is a very divine activity. To create something from the subtle, it's in your mind, from there to create something is a very glorious and actually very divine act. Pitanasa Guru Nasasyat, Janani Sasyat, Pitanasasyat, Janani Nasasyat, Namo Chetat Samupetam Mrityum. But if that act is done with full understanding and responsibility, and it's an act of liberation, but without understanding and ignorance and irresponsibly done, that becomes a cause of bondage. Valmiki was a hunter before he came in contact with Narada Muni, who transformed him from a hunter to a Maharshi, a greatest saint. Now, as a saint, when he went to take bath in the river, suddenly he saw a male and a female crouncher bird, something like a stork. They were, moving around lovingly and about to, unite. And Valmiki was appreciating that how the Lord is impartial. He hasn't deprived any species of this wonderful ability and a facility. And he was just looking at them. And he was about to take bath, and suddenly, one arrow hit the male bird, pierced him through and through, and right about in the rank, it actually fell down. About to die, died actually. And the female is so miserable, shouting, looking at, is there no one to help me in this situation? And from Valmiki's mouth came a curse. That anyone who has done this, may he suffer for a long time. Now somebody may ask, he himself was a hunter. Now why is he cursing a hunter? Hunter is performing his duty. A hunter ka, his duty is to hunt. In Hindi there is a saying, Saw chuhe mar kar billi haj ko chali. After killing 100 mouse, the rat is going for pilgrimage. The cat, sorry, cat is going for pilgrimage. What nonsense, hypocrisy. So, Valmiki himself a hunter, how couldn't he understand another hunter performing his duty? He's not a saint yet. The reason is, even hunters have their dharma. Just like everyone has their dharma, hunter also has a dharma. A hunter should never shoot an animal or any living entity when they are engaged in the act of union. Because it's a very divine act given by the Lord for procreation. That's how creation moves on. And therefore he cursed. This is wrong. Killing, okay. For your maintenance, still you get sin, of course. But then this is wrong. Similarly, Maharaj Pandu, he was going in the forest hunting, and he saw a couple, a deer couple, engaged in union, and he shot. And that deer was a great rishi, Kindama. In the forest, they had assumed the form of a deer, powerful rishi. And therefore, they were engaging him. That's the time he killed. And he therefore said, because you have killed me during this particular act, I curse you that whenever you engage in the act of procreation, you will die. Maharaj Pandu, he had a big responsibility for the whole empire of the planet Earth. He was an emperor. And part of his responsibility was to make sure that he leaves a legacy. Such a son who can actually continue ruling. And today, he's in a situation, he don't have any children and he's been cursed. Therefore, he went into the forest with Madri and Kunti. But Kunti, fortunately, had been blessed by Durvas Muni in her childhood that you can invoke any devata, powerful demigod, to come and procreate through you. She had a mantra she can invoke. That's how Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir Maharaj came, etc. So, the point is, this act of procreation is a divine act. Now, when is it entangling and when is it liberating? As Prabhupada elaborately and graphically explains, that on the genital there is a coating which gives pleasure to an individual. And so therefore, that act comes, with that comes a child and the responsibilities thereof. When done irresponsibly and in ignorance, it entangles. But when engaged with full knowledge and responsibility, it actually liberates. Punnama narakatrayate iti putra. Putra and mutra come from the same place. Mutra means urine and putra is son or progeny. They come from the same place. But one delivers the parents. If that person becomes a great devotee, not just parents, 21 generations can be liberated. If done with that kind of a responsibility and given that samskaras. So, that is why it is said, Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maithunamcha Samanyametat Pashubhed Narana. Four things are common between the animals and the human beings. Eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. But what is the difference? Dharmo hi tesham adhiko vishesho. Dharmena hina pashubhi samana. The only difference is, yes, you should eat to maintain. But eating should be done with dharma. What is right? What is wrong? How much is too much? How less is too less? Yukta ahara viharasi. Yukta karma sacheshtasa. It should be the golden mean. What is necessary, what is favorable and accepted as a mercy of the Lord. So, ahara, nidra, like that, all these things. Maithunamcha, even procreation, should be done with dharma. The thing is, so it's a facility, it's a privilege, and it's also enjoyment. But there is also a responsibility. So dharma means, yes, senses are meant to be satisfied, but not to be unnecessarily gratified. Senses are meant to be satisfied. We are anandamayo bhyasa. We are actually blissful entities. We are meant to enjoy bliss, happiness, satisfaction, joy. But there is also a responsibility, if it is done with a responsibility. When a person wants the facility, the privilege and the joy of the enjoyment of it without responsibility, that is degradation, that is material consciousness, that is entangling. But when that facility and the privilege and the enjoyment thereof is accepted with gratitude and used with responsibility, that same act becomes a liberating force. That is Grihastha Ashram. It's an ashram. It is as sacred as any other ashram. In fact, in the Mahabharata, Grihastha Ashram is considered better than all the other three, because all the other three come from that ashram. If Grihastha Ashram was not there, where will we come from? We didn't drop from the sky. So that ashram is considered the greatest, but the toughest. Because there is so much wonderful facility, there is also big responsibility. That's exactly what Prabhupada is explaining. The whole demoniac mentality, not a materialistic consciousness, is I want all the benefits of everything, but the responsibility of none. That's not a gentleman. Even a gentleman, if he receives something, he should reciprocate in some way. Any gentleman, if he has received something from someone, he will try as far as possible to reciprocate in some way. If nothing, at least he will express his gratitude and say, I'm so grateful to you. Thank you. At a time when I needed something, you did something to me. And therefore, gratitude is a sign of a gentleman. Anything that we have, everything that we have, is freely given to us by the Lord. How much more should we be grateful? In fact, that is the difference between kama and prema. Before that, I'll explain another important step. This is what is kama? Kama means lust, and prema means love. Actually, they are the same thing. But when that emotion is self-centered, that becomes lust. And when it is God-centered and others-centered, the same emotion is purest and liberating. And the amazing part, as they say, nothing comes cheap in this world. You think you have outsmarted God. God, you are a fool. You gave me some facility. I enjoy it, but I'm not going to pay. Right? This is the mentality. You think you are smarter than God. Sorry, sir. He's going to have the last laugh always. You can cheat the whole world. You can cheat yourself. But you can't cheat God. He's a super cheater. He will always have the last laugh. So you think you're cheating? And he's laughing. All right, guy. You want to act smart? All right, my dear child. Go ahead. You will learn the hard way. I taught you so nicely Bhagavad Gita. You don't want to. You learn the hard way, the school of hard knocks. And that is also explained. If you cheat, what will happen? That's also explained so mercifully by the Lord in the Bhagavatam. Pumsa striya mithuni bhavametad. Pumsa striya, when a man and a woman come together, mithuni bhavametad, with a desire to unite. Tayo mrit mithoho. As soon as they come together, externally you are enjoying, which is true. But simultaneously there is something subtly happening, which we do not realize at that time. What is that? Hridaya granthi mahu. Not only is the body uniting, but the heart unites. And there is a knot tied. It's very interesting. In Indian marriages, some communities, the end of the sari of the lady and one end of the dhoti of the shawl of the, is tied when they go around the fire. It's very interesting. It's very symbolic. Because it's not just the ritual. When a person is actually giving their heart, people say, I lost my heart. Not in Vrindavan. To this person. It's interesting. In the love, they say, they put a heart and make a arrow that's gone through and two drops of blood. I love so-and-so. It's very symbolic. So, Hridaya Granthi Maho. And that is necessary to take responsibility. That is necessary to take responsibility. Otherwise, why would I struggle to someone else? This person has invested so much faith and emotion in me. And we have come together. Till death do us part. It's supposed to be the vow. And it's important. That we are here not just to scratch each other's back, but actually to assist each other in this divine journey where we take each other as partners, as assistants to each other, in the mode of serving each other, encouraging and inspiring each other in our ultimate goal of life. Then immediately that play, that activity becomes divine and sacred. That relationship is sacred, which actually is blessed by the Lord, empowered by the Lord. And they can do amazing services. We have seen that. So, tayo mithor hridaya granthi mahu. So there is a knot tied there. It's a subtle knot. What is the proof that there is a knot? If that person goes, you are also pulled. There is no knot that you can see. Even after the dhoti and the sari is removed, you know, that knot is removed. But that person goes, your heart goes along with that person. If I am attached to this, somebody takes this, I also walk behind that. Arey bhai, that is mine. Because I am attached to this. Anyone who pulls this, he pulls my heart. So there is a subtle knot that, imagine you're sitting on the 8th floor of a building and there are so many cars parked. Somebody comes and beats up the car and breaks that car or breaks the glasses and dents the vehicle. And you look from the top and say, Kali Yuga, very bad. But if that car happens to be your car, oh, your heart skips a beat. And you may jump out from there without knowing to catch that fellow and beat him up. Why? The car is the same, you are the same, but there is a Hridaya Granthi Mahur. It's my car. It belongs to me. It's meant for me. How dare he do something to that car? He's doing to your heart. He's beating your heart. And maybe your ego. So this is Hridaya Granthi Mahur. Then, and another aspect of this is ato griha. The nature of this attachment is, well, now that we are married, we need a very beautiful house. Apne dam par. In Mira Road, I saw the advertisement. Apne dam par. One big key to the house. My permanent home, which I bought, no rent, but really my own home. So ato griha, because you need a house. You don't stay on the street after getting married. Otherwise, either brahmachari can move in. Because they need also better nowadays. So, atagriha, alright, to maintain that household and the other person, you need kshetra, you need a job, you need an occupation. All right. So now we are here. It's our own home. It's me and you. But after some time, ghar lage sona sona. Putrahinam graham shulyam. Without children moving around, it's like, theek hai, how long will we see each other's face? There should be something, expansion. So you want a little more children. Griha, kshetra, suta. And now that you have a beautiful house and wife and children, you want to share that joy with others. So you invite people. You need relatives or friends, circle, social circle to come and in a materialist sense, flaunt. Or in a spiritual sense, you want to just serve everyone and, you know, entertain others and share your joy with others. Suta, apta. And for all this, you need vittai. And therefore, you wonder, I thought it was heavenly, but now it is so struggle. Why? Because that struggle purifies the heart. In every ashram, there are facilities and there are responsibilities. Whichever ashram you are, some have a gross external struggle, visible struggle, and some are internal struggle. But a brahmachari or a sannyasi problem. The struggle is always going to be there. Facility and a responsibility. When we want the facility of the ashram, but not the responsibility of the ashram, we cannot progress properly. We will not mature. That experience is necessary to evolve spiritually. And be convinced that the world is miserable. I don't want to come here again. It gives a very healthy renunciation in the heart of this material world. Those who take responsibility progress immensely, even though externally they may not be visible to be seen, big services, devotional services. They are executing their responsibilities. But internally, they grow in light years. They realize deep realization of the nature of this world, the nature of people's mentality, the nature of things. They realize. And because they are doing their sadhana in that, they also develop a deep attachment for the Lord. And that attachment is sustainable and that detachment is also healthy. It's not artificial renunciation. It's deep detachment. It's not renunciation. It's detachment. Anasakti is different from vairagya. Vairagya means detachment. But anasakti, a renunciation. But anasakti means you're in the world but not of the world. So it is such an amazing system, provided we are aware and we take responsibility. But, there is a but. And what is that but? Even if you do it with responsibility, even if you do it with dharma, the nature of this karma is, without your knowledge, you want to lord it over. And because of lording it over, you become attached and you want to possess it. This is explained by Srila Prabhupada in the 15th chapter, last verse, the last paragraph. Purushottama Yoga, 15th chapter. Beautiful. He said, in the path of progress to spiritual world, in the association of pure devotees, engaging in devotional service, there are something that must be given up altogether, that must be vanquished altogether. Vanquished means thoroughly removed, not even a trace of it remaining in the heart. And what is that? One of them is weakness of the heart. Hridaya daurbalyam. Weakness of the heart. This is a stop, even if you are doing it with all best intentions and all responsibility. Still, the nature of this world is you become attached. And the attachment, the Hridaya Dorbalam is of two things, Prabhupada says. Lording it over matter And in the process of lording it over, you become attached and the possession of that. You want to possess it. This is material consciousness. I am this body and the extension of this body is mine to enjoy. This is very subtle. Even for a devotee, it's not easy because that thing is good actually, because the nature of soul is to love and be attached. But in ignorance, when we love and attach matter instead of spirit, then that causes problem. Therefore, what do? So beautifully, in one particular verse, Srila Rupa Goswami. Let us come to this Hridaya Granthi. We are still in the Granthi part, right? So that the knot in the heart is there. It's good to take responsibility, but it's bad if we become attached or wanting to lord it over. So, how do we overcome that? There is one way. You can remain where you are, in whatever position, in whichever ashram, you can remain where you are and still cut the knot in the heart. It's possible. Bhidyate hridaya granthi, chidyante sarva samshaya, kriyante chasya karmani, drishta evatmanishvare. When you see Krishna face to face, Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. Where Krishna is there, Maya cannot exist. Mm-hmm. How do we see Krishna face to face? There is only one way to begin with. In the beginning, it helps to facilitate cutting the knot. And in the end, in a pure stage, it helps to tie another knot. And that knot is with Krishna. And that process is hearing. Shrinvatam sokatha Krishna punya shravana kirtanah hridi antastohi abhadrani vidhunoti sahitsatam nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishthiki tada rajastamo bhava kamalobhadayasche cheta etai ranavibdham sitam sattve prasidati evam prasanna manaso Bhagavat Bhakti Yogatah, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, Mukta Sangasya Jayate, Bhidyate Hridaya Granthi, Chidyante Sarva Samshaya, Kriyante Chasya Karmani, Drishta Evatmanishvare. 5 verses in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, right in the first canto, in the beginning chapters. Interestingly, I would like to share something. Srila Prabhupada spoke on one verse more than any other verse in his public talks. Can anyone guess which verse it could be? Sarvadharman Parityaja? No. Huh? Rishabdev teachings. That is the second most spoken. Tapo divyam putraka nayam deho dehava. That is the second most spoken. Huh? Dehi knows when? No. Very good verse, but that's not the one. Huh? Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu. Very good. Thank you, but that's not the verse. 7.1 Bhagavad Gita. Anyone knows what is the verse? Mai asakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashrayah asamshayam samagram mam yatha gyasasi tat shrunu. Interestingly, in the purport to that 7.1 Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada quotes 5 verses and they are the very same verses that I chanted. Bhidyate hridaya granthi. Srila Prabhupada had full faith in his Jaladuta prayers, Markine Bhagavad Dharma. Though he is writing in Bengali, suddenly he shifts to Sanskrit and quotes these very five verses. Because he had full faith. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what kind of people I'm going to meet. I don't know how entangled they will be. I don't even know whether they'll understand my accent, my language, my vocabulary. But he had faith in the potency of the transcendental sound vibration. He said, Dhira hoye shune jadi kane bar bar. If they only attentively hear to my words, even if they don't understand in the beginning, even if they hear with little patience and little faith, Dhira hoye shune jadi kane bar bar. I am convinced that there will be a powerful revolution in their heart. Their power of lust will turn into the power of love in equal proportion, and this time empowered further with the grace of the Lord. And the way they are getting entangled hopelessly and horribly will turn into a revolutionary process of not only liberating themselves but liberating the whole world. They will become an instrument, as Prabhupada became an instrument. Make me dance, my Lord. Simply make me dance. And the amazing part of lust and love, as we were discussing, in lust, you want to enjoy the facility, the privilege and the joy and enjoyment, don't want to take the responsibility. And when it is purified into love, you want to take the responsibility and don't want any facility, you don't want any privilege, you don't want any enjoyment. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim kavitam vajak. Mama janmani janmani ishware bhavatat bhakti. You want the responsibility, but you don't want the facility. You don't want the privilege. You don't want enjoyment. And people are shocked. What makes you, what drives you? What motivates you? I don't see you being rewarded. You don't get anything for it. Why and how are you doing this? You don't understand. It's that love. It's millions of times more pain, more satisfying, more blissful than the insignificant things that this connection with matter can provide. They can't. Ya nisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrat. They are like day and night. They look, those who are materialistic look at the spiritualists and say, poor fellows, brainwashed. And the spiritualists look at the materialists, poor fellows, needs to wash the brain a lot. It's amazing. Both are pitifully looking at each other. But what's the difference? One thinks that the other is in illusion. The other knows that the other one is in illusion. This is the difference. One thinks under illusion and madness. Both are madness. Nunam pramattah kurute vikarma. A mad person. Sense gratification is, it drives you mad. Love is blind, they say. No? That is lust actually. It's blind. They go crazy and you wonder, how can't he see this? No, I can't see. It's so good. Same here. It's Prabhupada so beautifully right. Perversion. It's just a perverted reflection. Even a devotee of the Lord is mad. But this is a goal of life. This madness is the goal of life. Lord Chaitanya told, you know, when he heard this mantra from his guru and he went out, started chanting, he started feeling ecstatic love. He got scared. Tears rolling from my hairs are standing on my end. What happened? This mantra is driving me crazy. He went to his guru and he said, Kiva mantra dila gosai, kiva tara bol. Japite, japite mantra karila pagal. What kind of a mantra you have given my dear Master, what kind of a potency it has? The more I chant, the more I go crazy. The Guru said, wow, this is the perfection of light, my dear child. What I didn't get, you got. Evam vratasva priyadama kirtya jatanu rago dhrita chitta uccai hasati ato roditi rauti gayati unmadavat nrityati loka bahya. This is the ultimate perfection, Bhagavad says. Evam vrataha, with great determination and with resolution, svapriyanama kirtya, when we chant the name of our worshipable Lord, which is non-different from Him, Kalikale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, svapriyanama, jata anuraga, you develop, because the rust on the iron of our heart gets removed. When the rust is removed, Krishna is like a powerful magnet and our heart is like an iron piece which is rusted. But you, the holy name is like a sandpaper. You know, Cheto Darpanam Arzalam. It's like Krishna means, you know, some kind of a Garshan. So that feels like Krishna. That means it's like a sandpaper, you know, rubbing on your rusted iron heart. So, jata anuraga, and then what happens? Dhruta chitta uccaihi hasati. He starts laughing for no reason. Rauti, shouts. Because we shouldn't be doing it artificially. When you do it uncontrollable, that's another thing. Our Devamrita Swami Maharaj, he said, whenever you find yourself in a very tough situation, very difficult, and you can't handle it, too much lust, envy, pride, he said, shout out loudly at the top of your voice, Nityananda. But he said, don't do it vocally. Imagine you're in a flight and suddenly the pilot says, plane is completely gone out of control. Nitya! First of all, the passengers are already scared. He said, do it in the heart. Helpless cry. Like Gajendra, like Draupadi, like Ajamil. Helpless, loud in terms of its intensity of the call of the heart. Not just the decibel level. So, Uchati, Rauti, Gayati, Unmadavat, like a madman, Lokabai, oblivious to what people may think. Let the world think anything they want. I know Krishna and He knows me. There's a beautiful verse I would like to quote before concluding. This is, Rupa Goswami quotes this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This verse is such a, you know, sweet verse. It's worth memorizing and probably chanting every day. You know, especially if we feel that we are a victim of this Hriday Granthi. The knot is too tight and it's too complicated. Sometimes, you know, some knots are so tight, you know. But this Brahmin thread also sometimes you get entangled. You have to buy another one or to make another one. Completely entangled. You just can't figure out. You have to cut that song. So this is says, Kamadinam katina katidha palita durnideshas Pesham jata mai na karuna na trupa no pashantihi Utsrijaitan athayadupate sampratam labdha buddhi Pum ayataha sharanam abhayam Mam nyungsha atmadasye. So what should we do? If you have heard that little sincerity and attention, you will say, yeah, Prabhuji, perfectly what you are telling is so true. Okay, now tell me what is to be done. Okay, I acknowledge and accept. Yes, I am a victim now. What am I do? How do I get out of this? So this verse is a devotee speaking who has, because he has taken responsibility in his life, has realized the futility of the path that he was traversing At the same time, he has also realized the helplessness to turn the other way. And such a person is turning to Krishna and helplessly saying, what does he say? Kamadinam, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsar. There are six enemies: lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion. So kamadinam, all these six masters, they are like masters. We are their obedient servants. Whatever it says, yes sir, yes sir. So kamadinam, katina katidha palita. Palita means obeyed. I have obeyed since how long and in how many ways I have tried to serve them. I have been serving them in so many different ways. Since time immemorial, life after life, millennium after millennium. But what kind of a masters are they? Durnidesha. They are cheating masters. They are not well-wishing masters. They simply want to take more and more and give not less, nothing in return. Imagine serving a master who engages you fully, squeezes everything out of you and doesn't pay a single pie. Only a mad person will such masters, will serve such masters. So he says, Kamadinam katina katida palita durnideshas, and they are misguiding me. Today I have realized. Tesham jata mai na karuna. They are merciless masters. They don't give me a holiday on Sunday. They give me neither EL nor PL nor CL. CL, by the way, stands for casual leave. E is earned leave. PL is pandemic leave. Paternity leave, okay. ML, then maternity leave also. So, they don't give you leave. They don't give you Sunday. They don't give a break. And so first is, they are merciless masters. Na karuna, na tripa. And they are shameless. They complain. To both kam kam karta. You work very less. Should work a little more. Come on. A pep talk to make you act more, serve more, and squeeze more. So they are merciless. They are shameless. And they are dissatisfied masters eternally. They will never be satisfied even till the end of eternity. They have never been satisfied. Merciless, shameless, dissatisfied masters. And I have been serving them obediently since time immemorial. Tesham jata mai na karuna, na tripa, na pashanti. But Utsrja etan atha yadupate, O master of the yadus, O Krishna, today I have given my resignation. Not just given, I have thrown it on their face. Utsrja etan, to hell with you, enough is enough. I'm not going to serve you anymore. Utsrja etan atha yadupate, why? Sampratam labdha buddhi. I heard someone who told me, hey you fool, whom are you serving? Here is another master who is so merciful that even once if you call him, he will never forget. Even once you have helplessly gone and told, Krishna, I am fool number one, please help me. And when you turn and go outside the temple, you forget. And then you say, chode, chode, don't consider, okay. Krishna says, nay, you told me once. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to follow. In your heart, he will keep reminding you. What did you tell me? You promised me, please do come. I'm waiting for you every Sunday. So he is a merciful master. He is grateful master. For anything you have done, patra pushpam phala, even if you offer one flower, one fruit, some little effort, sometimes you couldn't do because you are in a situation where you couldn't serve directly, physically. But in the heart you thought, Krishna, if only if I had some facility, I would have done you. Krishna accepts as a bhava. He accepts that feeling and reciprocates. He is merciful. He is a grateful master. And he is satisfied with whatever little you do. But please do, Baba. Do something. I chanted one round on your birthday, Janmashtami. And when will you chant next? Next Janmashtami. Good. Good, my dear child. You got me one birthday gift. You chanted my name on my birthday. Chant on your birthday also, please. He'll give you that intelligence. So, he is merciful. He is grateful. And he is satisfied with whatever little you do. So, today, Utsra Jaitan Yadhupade Sampratam Labdha Buddhi. Now, having heard this, I am coming to your lotus feet. Enough is enough of that world. You turn. That's spiritual. True spirituality means when you take a turn and the same emotion that you are madly investing in matter, now you turn and just invest in the Supreme Spirit. That's it. It's not about the externals. It's about the essence of turning to Krishna. And rather than pleasing your senses, now let me please Krishna's senses. Now, so what will I do now that I have got my good intelligence? Tvam ayata. I will come running to you as frequently as possible. Ideally, come second every Sunday. If not, every day. Eventually, every moment. So, tvam ayata sharanam abhayam. Why I am taking your shelter? Because you give me fearlessness. Otherwise, this world is shoka moha bhaya. It gives only three things. Attachment to these things of the world, 100% guaranteed, it will give you lamentation, shoka, and moha. It only will increase your illusion. The more you try to lord it over, and the more you try to possess this, it's like running behind a shadow. It's futile. Shoka, moha, and bhaya. You'll always be fearful. How this body is going to go away. It's going to disintegrate. But I want to enjoy more and more. Things are going away. People don't behave the way I want them because you're not the Lord and Master. And so therefore, tvam ayatah sharanam abhayam. I know this is the most fearless shelter. Mam niyungshva atmadasye. My only request is, please, my Lord, just engage me in your devotion service. Today I have understood this is my constitutional position. And you will be awarding me with the ultimate wealth of prema, love. And when that love arises in the heart, then this body is an asset to express that love. Then you are family, manasa, deha, geho, jokichumor, arpilun tuapade nanda kishore. My mind, my body, my words, my family, my property, my everything, my life, I simply offer at your feet, my Lord. Because what am I giving? I'm just giving a drop. But what is your reciprocation? You are an ocean, Karuna Sindhu. In this process, I will never be a loser. I'm simply going to be a beneficiary. You know? So beautifully, Srila Prabhupada, in any purport, anywhere you touch, he comes out with the essence. That's a Saragrahi Vaishnava. This essence seeker. The purpose of whole Bhagavatam is only one purpose. What was the purpose of speaking Bhagavatam? Only one purpose. Out of compassion to benefit the hearer. That is the essential. There were six reasons, six questions. But the essential question is, to a person who is about to die, how will they get benefited? So one who knows the essence of this, doesn't matter whichever verse, comes back to the essence. Accept this. And be benefited. Chant and be happy. Go back to garden. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Itai Gopremanandi. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.